The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as Jesus sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put aside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout the district. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who leads us, feeds us, and guides us. Amen. It's good to be back home in Texas where the sky is blue and not orange, and the air is heavy but not unbreathable. It's good to see all of you too. Ordinary time begins today. The green season. 6 full months, punctuated every so often by a festival or a commemoration or a saint's day or maybe an installation. 6 full months during which we journey along Matthew's orderly way, led and taught by Jesus. Through this period of our pilgrim journey, our songs come from the Psalms. And Jesus' actions and Jesus' preaching and Jesus' teaching will be illuminated chiefly by readings from the prophets. From now until the end of September, we'll also hear from Paul's monumental letter to the Romans. Sometimes, like today, those readings will relate to the rest of the stuff. And other times, not so much. Today, because we are beginning this part of our faith journey, I also need to be more explicitly Lutheran in my preaching. Today's texts and each of their contexts, as well as our own context, the headlines of these last couple days, demands that. And so I want to begin this sermon as well as this season by reminding all of you of how we Lutherans understand life and interpret the scriptures. And I also think it's the way we interpret the news. In the apology, that is the explanation of Article 4 of the Augsburg Confession, which is our primary statement of faith and practice, 16th century German Lutheran forebearers wrote, quote, All scripture should be divided into these two chief doctrines, the law and the promises. In some places, it presents the law. In others, the promises of Christ, either when it promises the Messiah will come and promises forgiveness, justification, and eternal life for Christ's sake, or when, as in the New Testament, the Christ who came promises forgiveness, justification, and eternal life. Simply put, in Scripture and in normal life, we believe that God has two and only two things to say to us: judgment and promise. And God says these things consistently in Scripture and in everyday life. In today's second reading, Paul puts all of that this way. The promise that Abram would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. Again, simply put, no one is above the law or its wrath. No one. Luther once exclaimed, if you don't believe that is, that the law brings judgment and wrath and death, check out the cemeteries. Likewise, everyone is eligible to receive the benefits of God's promises. No exceptions there either. And I'm out of order. Oh, there it is. All of that, dear friends, is fundamental to Lutheran theology and teaching and preaching and practice. The article, the Reformer said, on which the church stands or falls. So now let's apply this to today's texts and contexts. Today, Matthew relates a series of incidents which Jesus does, and because of which Jesus is criticized by his opponents. Who are those opponents? Matthew says they're the Pharisees. But the answer is a little deeper than that, and the answer gives us the context of what's going on here. Jesus' opponents are not yet the imperial Roman overlords of Judea, an oppressive governing authority designed only to benefit those at the top. That's later to come in Matthew's gospel. Rather, Jesus' critics are their collaborators, an upper class of well-off folks who were only interested in self-preservation. And so either worked for the Romans, Matthew is an example of that, or worse, maintained their privileged position by, on the one hand, denigrating folks like Matthew, and on the other hand, working surreptitiously, and Jesus would say hypocritically, with their Roman overlords. Their mantras were, don't rock the boat. Keep a low profile. Maintain the status quo. They rigorously applied the law to everyone except themselves. Therefore, everything Jesus does, calling Matthew a public, not a surreptitious collaborator, dining with Matthew and his cronies, and identifying his critics' hypocritical collaboration, all of that infuriated them. And if that wasn't bad enough, so did touching a woman or having a woman touch his clothes, and therefore becoming ritually unclean. And then in the midst of all of that, almost immediately agreeing to and then healing a synagogue official's daughter and causing, quote, a report that spread through the entire district. So much for keeping a low profile and maintaining the status quo. As far as Jesus' critics, these collaborators with oppression, these guardians of the status quo for their own benefit, these who were above the law were concerned, Jesus broke the law and had to be eliminated, which they accomplished ultimately by collaborating with their Roman overlords and sending Jesus to the cross. Jesus' acts, however, were to proclaim that more than proclaim, to establish justice. Justice for those whom the arbitrators of the status quo kept down and out. Jesus is in the promise, that is, in the justice business, consistent with the prophets like Hosea. Jesus, like Hosea and his contemporaries, broke the law, as his critics applied it. And under the law, Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. We're going to say that pretty soon. No one, not even Jesus, is above the law. Yet God raised Jesus from the dead to proclaim that same love and justice Jesus lived for is consistent with, quote, the law and the prophets. In other words, it's in the Bible. 800 years earlier, the prophet Hosea did exactly the same thing. There's no way for you to know it unless you read the whole book, because all you get is a little snippet. But here's his story. To proclaim God's justice, Hosea broke the law. He married and had children with Gomer. Gomer is a prostitute. Then he divorced her. Later, he married her again. His life was a painful parable of the way the leaders of Israel and their collaborators managed their relationship with God. They were adulterous, is the point. And Hosea's excuse for what they labored unclean, lawless behavior was this: God made me do it. And his message, both spoken and lived out, was that God was more interested in justice, more interested in caring for the poor, the Am Haaretz, the people of the land, and more interested in the widow, the orphan, and the stranger in their midst than God was in their worship. God desires steadfast love, not sacrifice. Transformative justice, not pious religiosity. Which brings us to our context and all that's happening among us. No one is above the law, and everyone is eligible to receive the benefits of God's promises. No exceptions on either case. Jesus calls us as Jesus called Matthew. Jesus feeds us. Jesus heals us as he did that woman and that little girl. And Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit on us, just as Christ did it years and ages ago, so that we can bring compassion and justice to all labeled, demonized, dehumanized, and cast aside. And to show all the self serving authorities, that we will not collaborate with them. Hosea and the prophets did that. Jesus did that. Paul proclaims that. And at this table, in these difficult days, Jesus gives all of us a short, straightforward command. Go and do likewise. Amen.